Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Matt Paddock, and I'm one of the pastors here at Relevant Community Church. And it is my prayer that something in this message inspires and empowers you to take your best next step to follow Jesus. And as you take steps in continually following Jesus, that you are more and more transformed into everything God has created you to be. I hope you enjoy this message.
Well, Christmas season is upon us. It's really hard not to love Christmas, right? You got, I mean, all the baked goods, the presents, the lights, the decorations. I mean, just even the smell. I mean, everything is better about Christmas. And some of us love Christmas more than others. Just real quick, who has been listening to Christmas music already? Okay. Who has decorated their house already? Wow. So here's the thing. Last weekend, which is basically 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, November 17th, went over to some of our friend's house here from Relevant for dinner. And when I started driving down the street and almost got to their house, I was like, please tell me that's not their house. And it was. Their house, it looked like the Griswolds outside. Like, now, younger people, you guys don't know what that means. Don't worry. But older people, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It looked like the Griswolds. And I just could not believe what I saw. I almost kept just driving past it and went back home. Because I'm like, I guarantee, that's the only house on the street that's decorated and you can see it from outer space. And I'm like, I know that their neighbors think they're crazy people and I don't want to be associated with these crazy people. But we already committed, so I parked in the driveway reluctantly, went into the house, and then when I got in there, it just got crazier. Like, these people have large ceilings, high ceilings, and they have their 35-foot Christmas tree in there, and the amount of snowmen and Santa, let me tell you, if any of those things ever come to life, they're taking over their whole house and destroy. Like, it was insane in there, and we left. Thank you for dinner. We left as fast as possible. We got back in the truck, and I told Christy, those are crazy people. They are definitely crazy people. And just so you don't get caught in the craziness, I want to let you know who they are. It's Jake and Jen Hinton. Don't go to their house. These are crazy people right here, just so you know. Now, for those of us who are followers of Christ, Christmas is extremely significant for us. On Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And here's what we celebrate on Christmas. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, Advent begins next Sunday. And the word Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means coming or arrival. Followers of Christ celebrate Advent to reflect on and celebrate God physically came to be with us when Jesus was born into this world, and to anticipate when God will physically be with us again when Jesus returns someday. Jesus was Emmanuel. He was God with us, but Jesus isn't physically with us anymore. Jesus will physically be God with us again when he returns someday. But what about in the meantime? Because we're living in the meantime. I mean, is God with us in the meantime? Is he with you and me today? Now, those of us who believe that Jesus was the Son of God, believe that God was with us 2,000 years ago when Jesus physically came here, and that God will be with us again someday when Jesus physically returns. But if we're being honest, many of us are not confident that he's with us today. We're not confident he is because many of us don't feel like he is. I mean, we want to feel close to God. We want to experience his presence in our lives. We want to know and feel like he is with us. We want to see and feel him working. But the reality is many of our lives are seemingly void of God's presence. We pray, but don't hear anything. Don't feel like he hears us. We don't see him. Nothing's happening in our lives that can be attributed to God actually being with us. We don't feel his presence. We believe,
But we aren't experiencing the joy of God, the hope of God, the healing power of God, the provision of God, the comfort of God, the guidance of God that the writers of Scripture talk about. So we wonder where he is. It feels like he's distant, he's unavailable, he's uninterested, he's not with us. So we're left asking, is God really with us in the meantime? Is he really with us today? Now, I don't know if you know this, but Jesus' public ministry only lasted 3 years. I mean, when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the first four books in the New Testament, all about the events and life of Jesus, it only spans basically 3 years. And throughout those 3 years, Jesus proclaimed over and over and over that he was the promised the Messiah, Savior, anointed one, Son of God. And then he proved that he was through signs and wonders and miracles. Well, throughout those 3 years, he also recruited a team of 12 disciples. And for 3 years, they heard everything that he said. They saw everything that he did. And he told them repeatedly that he would sacrificially and voluntarily die for the forgiveness of the sins of the world, but that he would rise again, that he would rise from the grave to offer eternal life. And they couldn't comprehend all this. They couldn't understand all this. One of the reasons is because they couldn't comprehend that the Messiah could be killed. They couldn't comprehend that the Son of God could be crucified. They weren't getting it. They were not getting what they weren't picking up what Jesus was putting down. And to be honest, you wouldn't and I wouldn't have either. Well, right at the end of his three-year ministry, the night he was arrested by the unjustly arrested by Jewish religious leaders and then ultimately crucified the next day, that night he gathered his 12 disciples together for one final Jewish Passover meal. We now call it the Last Supper. And throughout this meal, Jesus did many things. He told them many things. But then right toward the end of his time together with them, right toward the end of this meal, in John 16, Jesus looks at his guys and says, guys, you're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to suffer. And you're probably going to be killed because of your association with me. And then he said this to them. I did not tell you this, that you'd be hated and persecuted and suffered and most likely killed from the beginning. When you first started following me, because, and I imagine him going, let's be honest, you probably wouldn't have started following me, and because I, Emmanuel, was with you. But now I am going to him, referring to Father God, who sent me, meaning I will no longer physically be with you. And none of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. They were filled with grief because Jesus just told them that they would suffer. Because they dedicated their entire lives to follow Jesus and they left their families and they left their jobs and their livelihoods. Because what would they do once he was gone? Because Emmanuel would no longer be with them. And then Jesus said the craziest thing imaginable to them. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. For our good. Jesus, how could this possibly be for our good that you are no longer going to physically be with us? They couldn't comprehend how this could be good for them, and we can't comprehend it either. I mean, Jesus has never physically been with us, but we all think it would be gooder for us if he was. So Jesus, how is it possibly for our good that you have gone away? Why is that for our good, Jesus? And here's why, Jesus says, because unless I go away, the advocate. Now, the Greek word, and Greek was the original language that the New Testament was written in. The Greek word translated advocate here can also be translated intercessor or helper. And Jesus used this word to describe his spirit, which we now refer to as the Holy Spirit. Now, earlier in the Last Supper, he had already told these guys that he was going to be sending his spirit, the advocate, the helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with them when he physically left. And now, as his time with them was coming to a close and as dinner is getting ready to wrap up, he told them, unless I go away, my spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you to be with. Jesus saying, I am Emmanuel, but I am physically leaving. I will physically return again someday, but in the meantime, I am sending my spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be God with you, to reside within you. And according to Jesus, and you've heard me say 1,000 times, any guy who can predict his own death and resurrection and pull it off, I kind of just go with whatever that guy said. According to Jesus, this was for their good. And this is for our good. And the question they're left asking, the question we're left asking is, how is this for our good? Jesus, how is it better that you, how is this better than you physically being with us? And here's how. It's better. It's better because of what happens when we put our faith in Jesus. And here's what the writers of the New Testament promise happens at that moment. It's for 1 Corinthians 5, or 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. According to the writers of the New Testament, the moment we put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, we are now in Christ, and something weird and amazing and unexplainable and powerful happens at that moment. At that moment, Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, takes residence within us. And at that moment, we're immediately transformed. The old is gone and the new is here. We're transformed from being a sinner, unworthy to stand before Holy Creator God, to being righteous, which means having a right standing with God. We go from having a broken relationship with Holy Creator God to having a restored relationship with Him. We go from being outside of God's family to being a child of God. We go from standing condemned and guilty before a Holy Creator God because of our violation of sin against Him to being forgiven and justified. We go from having earned eternal death, separated from Holy Creator God in this life and in the next, to being given eternal life with God in this life and in the next. We are a new, regenerated, transformed creation. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be God with us. Jesus sent his Spirit to reside in every follower of Christ, every person who puts their faith in Jesus. Jesus sent his Spirit to be God with us today, in the meantime, and that's better. That's better than Jesus physically being with us, because Jesus, as fully God and fully man, was confined by time and location and physical limitations. But his Spirit is not. It's better because through the Holy Spirit, every follower of Christ can experience God with us, can experience the presence of God within us at all times. And that's better. That's better than Jesus physically being with us because of what Jesus sent his Spirit to do within us. Jesus and the writers of Scripture talked about the Holy Spirit a lot. And they identify many things that he does in us and for us and through us. However, during the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples that he was sending his Spirit for 3 specific reasons. And it's because of those 3 reasons, while at the end of his time with them, at the end of this dinner with them, he said it was for their good that he went away. So, for your good, for my good, for our good, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at each of those 3. But before we dive into them, let me go back to the question I started with. Is God with us in the meantime? Is God really with you and with me today? According to Jesus, the answer is yes. According to Jesus, God's presence isn't distant. According to Jesus, God is with us through the Holy Spirit residing within us. Which, come on. Leaves some of us frustrated, asking the question, well, if that's really true, then why am I not experiencing him? I said earlier that most of us want to feel close to God. We want to experience his presence in our lives. We want to know and feel like he is with us. We want to see him working. But in reality, many of our lives are seemingly void of God's presence. We pray with no answers. We don't feel him. We don't see him. We don't hear him. We aren't experiencing anything that can be described as God with us. We show up on Sundays and leave empty. Reading the Bible, that seems pointless. We don't feel like we're transformed or that we're being more transformed. We believe the right things, but we aren't being filled with life, hope, peace, joy, fulfillment, contentment, freedom. Feels like God is distant, unavailable, uninterested, not really with me. So if God is really with me, why doesn't it feel like he is? And this may be very hard for some of you to hear. What Stephen, who was one of the leaders of the first church in Jerusalem, said to some Jewish religious leaders may answer that. And here's what he said. You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. And here it is. You always resist the Holy Spirit. There's a host of things that can prevent us from experiencing God with us. But from my experience as following Jesus now for 25 years and being a pastor and talking to thousands of people and helping thousands of people in their relationship with Jesus, from my experience, one of the primary things is that we, like the Jewish religious leaders that Stephen was speaking to, resist the Holy Spirit. And here's what you need to know. Resisting the Holy Spirit prevents us from experiencing him. God is with us through the Holy Spirit residing within us, but you and I can choose to resist him. Throughout this series, we're going to discover three of the many reasons that Jesus sent his Spirit, but I just need to tell you up front, you'll never experience any of it if you choose to resist him. Because when we resist the Holy Spirit, our hearts become hardened toward him. Before we launch in the next 3 weeks, it's important that you know this truth. Experiencing God with us is a choice. Experiencing God with us is a choice. God is with us, and we can experience everything Jesus sent him to do within us, but we must choose it. Listen, you and I, we have as much God in our lives as we want. You and I have as much God in our lives as we choose. Experiencing God with us is a choice. It's a choice to receive instead of resist the Holy Spirit. And that choice begins by putting our faith in Jesus. Listen, your and my sin is such a violation against Holy Creator God that it broke the relationship with him that he created us for. And Jesus was clear that our Heavenly Father sent him on a mission to save us from the penalty of our violation of sin against him, to forgive us, to restore and redeem and reconcile our broken relationship with him in this life and the next, and to transform us into everything he's created us to be through the power of his Spirit residing within us. That's what Jesus gave his life on the cross for. That's what Jesus rose from the grave to do and prove that only he can do. But you and I must choose to receive all that. You and I must choose to receive instead of resist the Holy Spirit. And that choice begins by putting our faith in Jesus, by confessing our need for a Savior because of our violation of sin against him that broke our relationship with him. Second, declaring our trust in Jesus alone as our Savior because of his death and resurrection. And third, asking him to be your Savior, asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and declaring that you want to follow him as the leader of your life, as your Lord. Listen, and if you've never done that before, I'm glad you're here. There's no pressure to ever do that. But if you've never done that before and you feel a prompting and a stirring and a, like, I can't even believe I'm thinking about this thought in your mind, that's the Holy Spirit. Don't resist him. Choose to receive him, and you can do that today. And I'm going to give you an opportunity when we pray in just a few minutes. Experiencing God with us, it's a choice. The choice to receive instead of resist the Holy Spirit also involves choosing to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. The moment we put our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes residence within us. God is now within us, and we can experience everything that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to do within us, but we must choose it. After we put our faith in Jesus, as followers of Christ, we will choose from that point forward to either resist the Holy Spirit or continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. We will choose to either resist or continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every home, every apartment complex, every home has a water main that brings water into the home. You and I can choose to turn that water main on or off. And what happens if we choose to turn the water main off? Thank you, Amy. This was not a trick question. Thank you, Amy. If you choose to turn the water main off, very quickly, there is no water in the house. There is no water coming out of your sink. You cannot wash your hands. You cannot get a drink of water. You cannot flush the toilet. Well, you can flush the toilet, but it's not going to fill back up, so you don't want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, just if you... And that's so often how we live. We put our faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit takes residence, and the water main is turned on. And then we choose to turn it off. In Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul instructs us, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The literal translation of be filled is be being kept filled, or keep on being filled. It means choosing to continually be filled with the Spirit. We choose to resist the Spirit by choosing to turn the water main off, by not continually being kept filled with the Spirit. And yet, we still wonder why our lives are seemingly void of God's presence. And it's because we choose it. You want to feel close to God. You want to experience His presence in your life. You want to see and feel Him working. You want to know and feel like He is with you. Experiencing God with us is a choice. It's a choice to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. The question is, how? And we're going to talk about some of the ways how to throughout this series, but you need to know this. This is so important. It's not about getting more of Him. It is not about trying to get more of Him. Some of us think to feel or to be filled with the Spirit, we need to get more of Him. And in order to do that, we need more worship experiences and better worship experiences and more Bible studies and more powerful prayer experiences and more anointing with oil and more lifting of hands and more speaking in tongues. And all of those things are great, but choosing to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit is not about how much we have of Him, but about how much He has of us. It's about how much He has of our heart, our will, our mind, our strength, our worries, our desires, our plans, our futures, our wants, our relationships, our finances, our comforts, our fears. It's about choosing to not resist Him in anything, but receive Him by surrendering to Him in everything, by following Jesus in every aspect of our lives. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be God with us. And I believe you're here today sitting in that chair or online today because you want to experience God's presence in your life. Experiencing God with us is a choice. So before we launch into the rest of this series to talk about what He sent His Spirit to do within us, I think it's worth honestly answering this question this week. Are you choosing to resist or receive the Holy Spirit? And come on, the reality is, you, I, all of us are choosing one or the other today in some aspect of our lives. Are you choosing to resist or receive the Holy Spirit in every aspect of your life? At the end of 1998, I was finally done playing football.
Which basically that statement means I'm old. That's all that statement means, and we can close in prayer now. So I stopped playing football at the end of 1998 when I was in college, but I didn't stop eating like I was playing football at the end of 1998. So at the end of 1998, I was, I don't know, 185 pounds, 8% body fat. And then from 1998 to 2002, I went to like 225 pounds and 100% body fat. I was in such bad shape and so overweight. And throughout those few years, I felt a prompting, like I was following Jesus and I was wanting to go into ministry, and I felt this prompting and this conviction that just didn't sound like that I should address this problem that I had, this eating problem and this not working out problem, but I just kept resisting it. And finally, at the end of 2002, like my life just started falling apart. Like physically, my life started falling apart. And I could not even stay awake through an entire day. I had to take a nap halfway through the day because I was so out of shape. I physically could not stay up. And I wanted to go into full-time ministry at this point in time. And I felt that like prompting from God through all those years, like, if you want to follow me in this way, you're going to have to get your crap together. And I was choosing to resist that. Well, at the end of 2002, going in the beginning of 2003, I finally just chose to receive that and follow Jesus in this aspect of my life, and ended up losing like 65 pounds and been scared ever since. I'm going to put all that weight back on the way I had it before. But let me tell you, it changed my life. It changed my life because, you guys, outside of just physically, I started to see and experience God in my life in a way I hadn't before, because I was not resisting the Spirit's prompting in this area of my life anymore. So listen, before we launch into this series, I want to encourage you to take time this week by yourself, with your T-Life group, to wrestle through this question. Are you choosing to resist or receive the Holy Spirit? Wrestle through this question in every area of your life. Wrestle through it because you want to feel close to God. You want to see and feel Him working. You want to know and feel that He is with you. Well, experiencing God with us is a choice. And by the way, how we know if we're choosing to resist or receive the Holy Spirit is not based on a feeling. It's not determined if you have some special gift or ability. It's not measured in how much Bible we know. It's not based on if there's suffering in our lives or not. It's not determined by correct doctrine. It's not based on if we're comfortable or not. It's not based on our financial or our level of wealth. It's not based on if we're happy or not. How we know if we're choosing to resist or receive the Holy Spirit is determined by this. But the fruit of the Spirit, meaning these are produced by the Holy Spirit, but the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, forbearance, which means patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we're choosing to receive instead of resist the Holy Spirit, when we're choosing to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit, these right here are what God with us produces within us. If you're not being more transformed at everything that God's created you to be by seeing the fruit of the Spirit produce more in you today, you're probably choosing to resist the Holy Spirit in some way, in some area of your life. So this week, I encourage you to wrestle through this question. Are you choosing to resist or receive the Holy Spirit? And as you do, if you feel convicted, you're choosing to resist Him in some way, choose to receive Him by surrendering to and following Jesus. You won't regret it, because experiencing God with us is a choice. Advent begins next Sunday. Over the next month, many of us are going to celebrate God physically came to be with us when Jesus was born. But some of us are going to miss God with us in the meantime. And God is with us in the meantime. And the reason I chose to do this series during Advent is because I don't want you to celebrate the birth of Jesus and miss the presence of God with you today. And your Heavenly Father doesn't want that for you either.
Listen, imagine a life where God's presence is real and daily and transformational. That's available to us. That's available to you through the Holy Spirit. But experiencing God with us is a choice. I'm going to pray. And as I do, I'm going to give an opportunity for those of you who haven't put your faith in Jesus but are ready to do that. Listen, and if you choose to receive the Spirit by putting your faith in Jesus today, by asking Jesus to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life today, this is a big day. This is a special day. This is a life-transforming day. And we want to give you one of these relevant Bibles to commemorate this day. So if you choose to pray to put your faith in Jesus along with me today, after we're done and you leave, stop by the Next Step area, tell someone there, I put my faith in Jesus today, they're going to hand you one of these Bibles. If that freaks you out, or if you're watching online so you can't do that, just text the word Jesus to 55444, and we will mail you one of these Bibles. Also, after I pray, I have one more thing to do before we close, so make sure you don't jump up and walk out. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son to be Emmanuel, to be God with us. And Jesus, we praise you and we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins so we could be forgiven. We praise you and thank you for rising from the grave to offer us eternal life. And we praise you and thank you for sending your Spirit to be with us today. Lord, I pray this week as we wrestle through this question, am I receiving or resisting the Holy Spirit? I pray you just open our minds and open our hearts to what you want to speak as we ask that question. And Lord, I pray that we take a step to follow you, to receive you, to choose to continually be filled with you. And through it, I pray that we see your fruit produced in us. Lord, for every person who's never put their faith in you, Jesus, I pray that right now they choose to do that quietly as they sit where they're at. That right now they choose to confess their need for a Savior because of their violation of sin that broke their relationship with you, Heavenly Father. And in this moment, they declare, Jesus, they believe you to be the Savior of the world and their Savior because of your death and resurrection. And right now, I pray that they ask you to be their Savior. That right now, they ask you to be the forgiver of their sins. And they declare that they want to follow you as the leader of their life, as their Lord. Lord, as they're praying this, I pray that they feel your Spirit with them. As you take residence within them, that they know that the old is gone and the new has come. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, this is an awesome, special day for you. And we would love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these Bibles. Simply text the word Jesus to 55444 and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information that will help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in the context of community. If you live in the Elkhorn or Omaha area and you're not part of a local church, we'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday gatherings at 9 or at 10:45. You can find out more about Relevant or what a Sunday morning looks like around here simply by going to our website, relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for watching.